Please, you excuse my voice. I'm just getting over a cold. But you can hear me well, right? Isn't God wonderful? You know, I was listening to Pastor Stephen talk about the 21-day prayer and fasting and the theme of seeking God and following after God and wanting to know Him more. And I believe the Spirit of God is one. And my message this morning, and by no coincidence, I didn't talk to Pastor Stephen about anything. I didn't talk to Pastor Cricket. I was asking the Lord, what do I tell your people? And the Lord said, preach on chasing after God. And when I sat down there and Pastor Stephen was talking about what the Lord has been dealing with the church as a general, I had shivers down my spine. I'm like, wow. God is good to listen to your voice. So this morning I'm going to start with the message, chasing after God. My core text, if you may, you can turn your Bibles with me if you have one. And I have the verses on the screen also. We'll look at 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And I apologize, the words are small there, but if you have a Bible, you can follow with me. And I'm going to read from the NIV translation. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19, from 19 to 21. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. If you're the type that underlines your Bible, you can mark through his mantle. Verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. Again, if you want to mark that place, ran after Elijah. And said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? Verse 21. So Elisha turned back and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. This morning I'm going to talk about chasing after God. In Bible times, men wore loose outer clothing or garments called a mantle. It's like a jacket or like an overall that we wear now. It's called a mantle. And the mantle served two purposes. One, it was to keep you warm and protect you from the elements. Like we wear a winter jacket when it's cold. Nobody has use for a winter jacket in the middle of summer. So the mantle was used as a protection from the elements. Number two, it was also a special garment identifying a man of God. So the prophet had his own mantle, and you could tell the prophet from the kind of clothing he wears. Stick with me. The Bible says, then Elijah passed him and threw his mantle on Elisha. The word mantle there in the original Hebrew means adareth. It means glory. It means glory. It means splendor. Let me say this by starting. The anointing of God is not the mantle of God. Please pay attention. The anointing of God is not the mantle of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, but the mantle is an outside covering. I've heard some ministers say this, oh, when Elisha threw the mantle, he received the anointing. That's not true. That's not true. The anointing is different from the mantle of God. The anointing dwells within us. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. The Bible also tells us that, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure is inside earthen vessels. This flesh is earth. And Bible says, I have locked in treasure inside the vessel. That treasure is the anointing and the presence of God. But the mantle is something that you wear on the outside. Okay, so it's not the anointing. Okay, so the mantle is a covering that protects the anointing of the Holy Spirit within. You say, Pastor Abby, does the anointing need to be protected? Absolutely. See, what does that have to do with chasing God? I'll tell you in a minute. The mantle of God is a covering that protects the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul said, we must put on Christ Jesus. Why do I need to put on Christ Jesus when I have the anointing inside of me? Kind of contradictory, right? No. What he was saying there is that you have to put on an outer covering to protect what's inside. Now, I'm going to break it down a little bit more to be more specific. Now, the mantle I'm talking about here, is it becomes visible because that's what you see. It's visible through a person's character and lifestyle. I can't see the anointing. I see you, brother. I don't see the anointing inside. I know you're anointed, but I don't see the anointing inside you. But I see what you're wearing. You're wearing a shirt. And God is saying what they see on the outside is your character and your lifestyle. The mantle of God stands for three things. One, humility. Two, service. Three, sacrifice and suffering. I'm coming to your house today. I'm going to knock the door. I'm going to knock on the door. Come into your bedroom. We're going to get personal this morning. Because we have to hear the truth in church. So the mantle of God is made up of three things. It's made of humility, service, sacrifice, and suffering. Those three things. By the way, let me just say something quickly. That the enemy also has a false mantle. You know, everything that God does, the devil has a counterfeit for it. So there's a true mantle of God, but there's a false mantle of God. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? I'll show you in a minute. If you go to Jude chapter 11, There's only one chapter in Jude. Verse 11 says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. It is important to know that there are many people who are anointed, but they have a false mantle on. You say, what does that mean? When I say the false mantle, it means instead of humility, they put on pride. In fact, the word, the way of Cain means pride and self-will. You know the story of Cain and Abel? It was proud. Self-will. I'm going to do it my way. Nobody can talk to me. That's the way of Cain. The error of Balaam is greed and lust. The rebellion of Korah is impatience with God's will and timing. So just by the wayside, the true mantle of God exists, but there's also a false mantle. Now, if you're going to follow and pursue God, you have to do it on His own terms. You can't make up the rules for God. It doesn't work like that. You must protect the spirit of Him who died for you with the true mantle of God. There are too many of us in church today who are spirit-filled, saved. But the world and our families cannot tell that God is living with us. Because you have a false mantle on. The anointing is not the mantle. There are many anointed Christians. But you can't talk to them. They have a false mantle on. They have a false mantle on. As a matter of fact, remember I said the true mantle is humility, service, and sacrifice and suffering. These three always go together. The man who is cloaked in humility will not find it difficult to serve God. He will not find it difficult to serve God. He will be willing to sacrifice and suffer for the sake of the gospel. If you find a man who's so humble to God, who's submitted to God's will, that man is the first person in line to serve. He's the first person in line to give up himself, to give up his house, to give up his time for God. Please don't tell me you're anointed. Yes, we know you are anointed, but do you have a true mantle of God upon you? Now, let's look at an example. In fact, let's look at the example. Jesus is our example. So if you will, please open your Bibles to Philippians, because some people are saying, well, you know, this is a little bit, are you really sure this is the way? Because I think the anointing is, I'm not saying the anointing is not important. Jesus was anointed. In fact, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, he said how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good, healing them that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus had to be anointed. I get it. The anointing is important. The Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. I get it. You need the anointing to function as a Christian. Yes, I understand. But God is saying there is more to it than the anointing. And when they introduce men of God or Christians, there's nothing wrong with it. Oh, the anointed man of God. Well, that's good. But in heart, he's so prideful. And God said, you stink. With your anointing, but you're proud, you stink. The Bible says God resists the proud. How can I be anointed, but yet God resists me? The Lord began to deal with me this year. He says, son, walk on the mantle. You have the anointing. You've been prayed for. The oil has been poured upon you. The anointing is not going anywhere. I've anointed you. My gift and callings are without repentance. I'm not going to take away my anointing from you, but I need you to walk on the mantle. Begin to walk on your mantle. Submit yourself to my will. Become humble so I can use you. So that I don't... Bible says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's the problem with the church today. That too many of us, with our own agenda, we're so proud. We want to do it our own way. We want to do things... And it, God said, I'm... Alright, let's move on quickly. Let's move on quickly. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 11. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. And this is a scripture all of us know. A lot of us have read this so many times. But I read this again a few days ago and it really blessed me. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. In verse 5, it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who, though he was in form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Verse 7, he emptied himself. By taking the form of a servant. Remember again the word service. Mark that word. He took the form of a servant. Mark it, please mark it. Being born in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in a human form, he humbled himself. You see that word again. Humbled. We've seen the word service. You underline the word service first. And then you look at the word, he humbled himself. By becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's the ultimate sacrifice. Do you see what I'm talking about here? That Christ put on the mantle over there. Bible says he humbled himself. He became his servant. I'm telling you, the true mantle of God, you become humble. Your humility leads you to service. And it makes you do things that others would think that you're losing your mind. People will mock you. That's okay. Why are you always in church, brother? Why are you paying so much tithes and offerings? Why are you giving so much of your time and effort? Are you a pastor? Why are you doing this? Have you lost your mind? They don't understand that you're wearing the true mantle of God. It's okay. You just leave them alone because you have the understanding that they don't. My God. The Bible says that the things of God are foolishness to the world. People of the world cannot understand you when you do things that God wants to do because they are devoid of understanding. It's okay. You don't argue with them. Don't try to convince them. That's not your job. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. If they don't get it, just move on. It's okay. So the Bible says that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. So I showed you that that's the mantle of God. But Jesus was anointed. I'm telling you, the anointing is not enough. He had to take the mantle upon the anointing. And the Bible, this is what I love the most in verse 9. It says, therefore means because of what we've talked about. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. The anointing is not enough, folks. Therefore, and God showed me something there. He said, do you see? The Bible says, therefore God exalted him. God does not exalt the anointing. God does not exalt the anointed one. He exalts the humble one. Are you getting this? Are you listening to what I'm saying? I know you're anointed, but promotion does not come because of the anointing. It comes because of those who are broken down, those who are broken hearted, those who are ready to go all the way for God. I love that song that says, I need you, Jesus. Where else can I go? I will follow you. The man, can you understand? Look, God will exalt you as long as you humble yourself. The anointing is not the gateway to promotion. Stop kidding yourself. I'm anointed. I know. God does not exalt the anointed servant. He exalts the humble servant. That's why he said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in due season, he will exalt you. He didn't say anything. He says, humble yourself. And he says, when you receive the anointing, you'll be exalted. He didn't say that. No. He says, humble yourself. Then exaltation comes. Humble yourself. Then lifting comes. Humble yourself. Then blessings comes. You want blessing in your life? You want to go higher with God? Humble yourself. Put on the true mantle of God. Don't forget a topic. It's chasing after God. It takes a humble heart to chase after God. Because there are other things distracting you. Other things vying for your attention. Other things. Okay, let's move on quickly. It's my time. So Jesus humbled himself. He became a servant. He modeled what pursuing God really means. He says, for I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. If Christ needed a mantle, so we need one too. Jesus is our King. Yet, the greatest servant. Pastor Stephen, I thought about it the other day. How can somebody be the greatest king? The Bible calls him the King of Kings. Yet he's the greatest servant. How do you fulfill both roles? Have you seen an earthly king acting like a servant? Have you seen an earthly president acting like a servant? It's not possible because your role does not allow you to do that. But I'm telling you, in Christianity, be warped, it's a little bit twisted. That's okay because God does not think like the way we think. Jesus was the King. He is the King, but he's the greatest servant. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Do you know on the night that he was betrayed, he took the washcloth and some water and he knelt down and began to wash his disciples' feet. How low can you get? The one who made you is washing your feet. And here you are with your cute self. You can't even come to church and serve. What is wrong with us in church these days? The Lord has been tugging at the heart, the strings of your heart for a long time. He says, son, I need you to come into church. You have a beautiful voice. Why don't you serve? I don't have time. You don't have time? I need 1 hour or 2 hours of your time in a week just for me. You can go to work, do anything you want on your weekends, do anything you want to work during the week, do anything. I just need 2 hours of your time. And you're saying, I don't have time. But when it's prayer time and you're the first person in line, Pastor, pray for me. You know what I tell them in our church back home? There's nothing wrong in the pastor praying for you. But I can pray for you till I'm blue, but if you don't do the right things, God will be far from you. So I will tell you from the word go, let's both of us shouldn't waste our times. Submit to God. I can help you. I'm just a man like you. If you want God to move closer to you, maybe you should be a little bit humble. So let's go back to our text again. Again, we're going to look at the Bible, the story of Elisha. He says, so he departed from there, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and say goodbye to them. And he said, go again, what have I done to you? And so he went after Elijah. Elisha went after Elijah. But something about this man struck me. Something about his life and character really stands out in the scripture. Now, look at what this guy was doing before the prophet showed up. He was an idol. I hope you know that Shaphat was a wealthy man. Elijah was his son. Elisha, I'm sorry, was his son. So he was from a privileged family. They were wealthy. They had fields and lands. But Elisha was plowing the oxen. And I'm thinking, if this man was so wealthy, I'm sure they had servants. Where were the servants? Why is the son of the house plowing the fields when his servant can do it? Are you getting what I'm saying? Okay. He was walking the field. He was plowing and toiling in the hot, humid sun. He wasn't laying around doing nothing. He was busy. And I wrote here in my notes, have you noticed that God calls the ones who are very busy? The ones who understand a work ethic? Ouch. Should I quote, do you still love me, guys? Let me tell you something. God looks at your life. I'm sorry. He looks at you. Before he calls you into ministry or calls you to do any important thing for you, he wants to do anything and he wants to use you. He looks at your personal life first. Are you a committed person? Are you committed on your job? Do you have a job? Let me ask you something. If you're not faithful in the little things that God has given you, in manly things, going to work 9 to 5, you might hate the job. That is irrelevant. If God says, this guy is not committed to what he's doing, how will he be committed to the work I will give him? That's why God seems to call people who have busy lives. Because the ones who are just laying around doing nothing are unreliable. I know people don't want to hear this in church, but I'm going to tell you the truth. God is not going to call you if you're not faithful at your regular job. If you're not putting, He's not going to bless you. Jesus said, if you're faithful in another man's, then God will bless you in yours. You see, I hate my boss. This is for somebody here. I hate my boss. I can't stand him. And so you show up at work and do, just do anything you want. You don't put your heart into it. You're robbing yourself of your own blessing. God is not interested if He's not interested in your boss. He couldn't care less if your boss is nice or wrong or mean. He cares about you. He looking at your work, I think. So this guy was working hard in the midday sun. He could have said, you know what, I don't want to do it. They say, guys, come and do this. And while he was doing the work, the prophet showed up. Destiny showed up. Right in his regular day job, destiny showed up. If he was in the backfields, just laying around or doing nothing, he would have missed the prophet. And the prophet found him. And God called him. By the way, I hope you know that Elijah had a school of prophets. Let me go there. For Bible scholars, Elijah is one of the biggest prophets. He had a Bible school, in quote. And he had a school of prophets. So he had Bible school students. People who wanted to go, you know, were pursuing that line of ministry. Like we have seminaries and theological schools these days. So Elijah was the registrar, the rector of the Bible school. He had students. But when God was ready to choose a man to follow after Elijah, He bypassed all the students and went for a lad in the middle of a field somewhere. Isn't God's criteria a little bit odd? What am I trying to tell you? The fact that you're in Bible school, there's nothing wrong in going to Bible school. There's nothing wrong in getting a degree in theology. I get it. There's nothing wrong in that. But that does not guarantee that God will pick you for His work. Why would Pastor Stephen, why would God choose Elisha, somebody who's never been to Bible school, when there are 50 students in Bible school registered? Why? The anointing is not enough. It's not. God is so concerned about our character. It's so important. What do people see when they see you? What's the vibe you give when they meet you? I wrote here in my notes, anointing without character is a waste. If you're right, taking notes, take that down. Anointing without character, godly character, is a waste. In fact, it's annoyance to God. It's annoyance. You know why it's annoyance? I'll tell you, and you can write this down. Because you have Him, but He does not have you. Listen to this. Sir, can you come forward, please, if you don't mind? God bless you, sir. This is an anointed man of God. Amen? He has the anointing of God inside. So, you have Him, because He lives in you. Thank you. You can sit down, sir. But if he's not submitted, he doesn't have the true mantle. God does not have him. You have God, but God does not have you. That's the problem. That's why it's annoyance to God. What's the point of the anointing in you when I can't even use you? Let me move on quickly. So people who are humble find it easy to follow God. I'm focusing on the humility part because it's the core part. If you can get that part right, the others will follow. People who are humble find it very easy to serve in church. And if you've been struggling to follow God, maybe it's because maybe because you're proud. Maybe somewhere there's pride somewhere. Check yourself. And he says, and he left, verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please, let me kiss my father and my mother, then I'll follow you. These folks don't need to be cajoled. They don't need to be begged. They don't need to be forced. It comes from their heart. I tell folks at church back home, I said, if you're going to serve, I'll know if you want to serve. I don't need to call you. I don't need to text you. I don't need to convince you. No. I don't. Elijah didn't say a word. He just threw the mantle upon him. And so the Bible says he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He left the temporal and pursued the eternal. Did you get that? He left the temporal to pursue the eternal. He had to leave the oxen, temporal, to pursue Elijah, the eternal. And maybe the issue with you is you are too attached to the oxen. You are too attached to temporal things. You are too attached to the familiar because you are afraid to step into the unfamiliar. God is saying, come up here, son. Come up here. I want to take you to a higher level. But you say, it's so comfortable around here. This is the kind of life I'm used to. My regular schedule. Please don't rock my boat, Lord. And God is saying, would you leave the oxen? Leave the oxen and follow after Elijah because there's greater stuff for you. You're taking you to a higher level, but you're so comfortable with the oxen, the temporal, with the familiar, that you're unwilling to sacrifice that and follow the unfamiliar. And the Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I always say something, you can't look up and look down at the same time. It's impossible. Can you try looking up and then one eye is looking up and one eye looking down? You can't do that. It sounds funny, but it's true. You're saying, God, I want to follow you, but I still got my eye on the oxen. I still got my eye on that. That's what we're doing, folks. Jesus left the comfort of heaven to die the most agonizing death. Death on the cross. He left his comfort because there was something eternal he had to do. The Bible says he humbled himself and followed after the Father's plans. And he's calling you and I to do that. Your love affair with the temporal is robbing you of the pursuit and the experience of the eternal. Make up your mind, folks. His mind was made up to follow Elijah. The Bible says he ran after him. The Bible says he left the oxen and ran. It was a made up mind. There was no deliberation. There was no meeting. There was no texting. There was no calls. There was no check back with me in 2 days. It was immediate, instantaneous. I know what I want with my life. I want to serve God. And if the opportunity arises, I'm going after it. Amen. Chasing after God. He wasn't dragged. He wasn't chained. No. That's what most pastors do now. We have to beg them. Not because we want to do it, because we love you guys. We know there's a blessing in serving. And we try and encourage people to serve and to be a part of what God is doing in the local. Because it's not about you, really. It's about God. And we're saying, please, would you let God bless you? This is not even for me. This is about you now. Would you let God? Are we actually have to fight them? And you come, no. It was an easy decision for you. He ran after Elijah. Can you picture the desperation? So let's move on a little bit, and I'll be rounding up in a few minutes. So he ran after Elijah. He ran after the servant of God. He chased after the servant of God. You know, he could have said, I can find God myself. Have you heard people say things like, I don't need to go to that church. I can pray by myself. I can read the Bible by myself. I don't have to follow some old, cranky, bossy man of a prophet. Really? You've just missed your destiny. You just acted foolishly. Foolishly. The reason why followed Elijah for one reason. He followed Elijah because of the God in Elijah. The reason why I'm serving in victory and doing what Pastor Stephen and Pastor Cricket say is because of the God they serve. My serving him makes me connect to God directly. If you understand that, maybe, just maybe, you will listen. Because you have something that I want. You know somebody that I want to know. So I'm going to follow you. I remember, I'll tell you a story while I round up. A few of you guys know who I am. 4 years ago, I was in this town. I was practicing at the MCSA. And I just moved my family from Vegas, Las Vegas, where I was practicing there. And God called me into ministry. And, you know, the Bible says something. I'll go back to my story. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, if any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself. Deny. Humble yourself. He says, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself. That comes with humility. Pick up his cross, service and sacrifice, and follow me. A few years ago, the Lord called us into ministry, about 5 years ago. I remember they poured oil upon me and he says, you know what, you're anointed, you're going to be a pastor. We're sending you to Canada to pastor a church. Start a new work for the ministry. God bless you. I had no formal training. I've never been to theological school before, Pastor Stephen. I'm standing here being honest with you guys. I've never received any kind of formal training in terms of ministry. I'm a doctor by profession. I went to medical school. I can take care of kids. I can give shots. I can write in prescriptions. That's what I went to school for. I was never commissioned to be a pastor, never into ministry. But all of a sudden, God calls me and says, hey, you're going to be a pastor. And said, okay, so they poured oil upon me and said, you're the pastor now. Yay, excitement. Let's go preach. And God said, no, not yet. He said, you're anointed. But you don't have the right mantle on. And the Lord spoke through a woman of God. He said, I'm going to send you. Your family can go to Canada, but you're going to sojourn in this land for another 3 years. I said, what? There's a church to be planted in Canada. Let's go. God said, they go, you stay. And so I came here. I live by myself here. I met this beautiful family, mom and dad and the whole family. And then when I left, I moved upstate to New York. I was there for another 2 years, living by myself. I was making the journey from the US to Canada every weekend, go preach, come back. And those were one of the most miserable times of my life because I was separated from my family. I was lonely. And I said, God, I had a good thing going in my life. I had a practice. I had everything set up. I had partners. And then you call me into ministry. And I obeyed that. And now I'm left hanging. But do you know that in that time of seclusion and separation was when God spoke to me the loudest? And God began to break down my spirit. He says, I can't use you unless you're submitted to me. I can't use you unless you're broken. I was broken. I was broken. In tears, in struggle, my pride was smashed. I began to tell God, whatever you want to do with my life, I'm ready. It doesn't matter now. I've learned my lesson. And some of you are here, you're going through some experiences. It seems like you're going through a wilderness. You're going through a lonely place. But do you know sometimes God has to take you away from the crowd to get your attention? Sometimes he wants to talk to you. He's been talking to you, but you can't hear him because there's so much noise going on around you. And he says, I need to separate you one-on-one so I can speak and pour myself into you. And that's what he did. For 3 good years, I was by myself, just, you know, come back from work, stay in the apartment by myself, no friends, no family to talk to. And I'll read my Bible, pray, and the Lord will speak to me, getting me ready. Looking back now, it makes sense. It didn't make sense back then. But the Bible says, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Because when you do that, it makes it so easy. Following him is so easy. So now I'm at a point in my life where God says, what do you want to do, God? Where are we going next? I'm going. Because I've learned. And that's the only way I can be useful. I don't want to have all this anointing and not be useless in the hands of God. So this year, 2016, as we just bow your heads and begin to talk to God, as I close in this message, you say, Pastor, what's in this for me? If I follow God, what's in it for me? I'm glad you asked. If you follow him, oh my goodness, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful journey. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. You're going higher with him. Trust me, the view is better on top of the mountain than the valley. Why don't you just pour your heart out today and say, God, I surrender to you. I've made up my mind to stop running. I have made up my mind to humble myself. I have made up my mind to follow after you. I will put on the true mantle of God. As I invite Pastor Stephen, please can you come forward, please, sir? And pray with the folks. If you want prayer this morning, you can come forward. And the pastor of the house will pray for you. You say, Pastor Abby, Pastor Stephen, I just want to follow God this year. I'm done playing games with God. You don't have much time. You're 40, you're 50, you're 60. How many more years do you want to wait? You're 20, I have more time. No, you don't. Bible says, follow the Lord in the days of your youth. Pursue after him. As the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longs after you, O God. God wants to exalt you. He wants to elevate you. But he has to be on his own terms. Father, we thank you this morning for your people. Thank you for your word that has gone forth this morning. As your word says, if any man at all wants to be your disciple, he has to deny himself, pick up your cross and follow. And that's what we want to do this morning, to follow after you. Thank you for your people. Lord, we release a grace upon your people this morning. That grace that helps them to humble themselves. The grace that helps them to commit wholeheartedly without reservations. The grace that helps them sacrifice for the greater good of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, this morning.